Thereafter, his father, being afraid of guns, brought him to the cow pastures of Maharaj Nanda, and there he lived for 11 years like a covered flame with his elder brother Baladev. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. There was no necessity of the Lord's being dispatched to the house of Nanda Maharaj out of fear of Gansa's determination to kill him as soon as he appeared. It is the business of the Asuras to try to kill the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or to prove by all means that there is no God, or that Krishna is an ordinary human being and not God. Lord Krishna is not affected by such determination of men of Gansa's class. But in order to play the role of a child, he agreed to be carried by his father to the cow pastures of Nanda Maharaj because Vasudev was afraid of Kansa. Nanda Maharaj was due to receive him as his child, and Yashoda Mai was also to enjoy the childhood pastimes of the Lord and therefore to fulfill everyone's desires. He was carried from Mathura to Vrindavan just after his appearance in the prison house of Kansa. He lived there for 11 years and completed all his fascinating pastimes of childhood, boyhood and adolescence with his elder brother Lord Baladev, his first expansion. Vasudev's thought of protecting Krishna from the wrath of Gansa is part of a transcendental relationship. The Lord enjoys more when someone takes him as his subordinate son who needs the protection of a father than he does when someone accepts him as a supreme lord. He is the father of everyone and he protects everyone. But when his devotee takes it for granted that the Lord is to be protected by the devotee's care, it is a transcendental joy for the Lord. Thus, when Vasudev, out of fear of Gansa, carried him to Vrindavan, the Lord enjoyed it. Otherwise, he had no fear from Gansa or anyone else. Om Gyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Scha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padhan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pramami Hari Priye Ancha Kalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So just to repeat the verse itself, Canto 3, Chapter 2, Verse 26, thereafter his father, being afraid of Kansa, brought him to the cow pastures of Maharaj Nanda, and there he lived for 11 years like a covered flame with his elder brother Baladev. So we're very early on still in the Srimad Bhagavatam, but this is like a summary chapter of remembering Lord Krishna. This is what Uddhav is explaining. A summary of Krishna's life. And this particular verse is very sweet. Srila Prabhupada brings alive the sweetness of this particular verse, the pastime of how Vasudev, fearful for Krishna's life, fearful for the Supreme Personality of Godhead's life, carries him in a basket on his head through the Ganga in a storm to the care of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mai. And in this purport, Srila Prabhupada explains three of the many reasons or purposes of Krishna going from Mathura to Vrindavan. Krishna, with one thing, achieves many, many things, many purposes. But Prabhupada's purport for this verse focuses on his mellow of transcendental love with his devotee. Krishna the person. Krishna when he leaves his crown. Krishna when he leaves his position of God. Krishna when he's authentic. He's just himself. He has no work to do. What is his motive? How does he act? And in this verse it describes how, and Srila Prabhupada explains that, actually Krishna had no need to fear Gans. Gans can't do anything. Doesn't matter how many demons he gathers, he can't do anything to him. But Krishna was reciprocating and using Vasudev's fear for him. His fear born out of love for Krishna to go from Mathura to Vrindavan, also in order to please Nanda and Yashoda, who were going to enjoy relishing pastimes of caring for him. And Krishna was going to enjoy being looked after. And here it very, very clearly says, Srila Prabhupada very clearly says here, the Lord enjoys more when someone takes him as his subordinate son who needs the protection of a father than he does when someone accepts him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Krishna's eternal pastimes, in the spiritual dimension, in our permanent relationship with him, it is very clear here that Krishna's activities are directed by the desires of his devotees. Equally, he says the same thing in the Bhagavad Gita, that as the super soul, I see your desires, I monitor your desires, and I direct your faith in such a way that you go and achieve those desires. So Krishna is clearly, whether he's God or whether he is himself, he is always in the service of us. But the service of us, where we are connecting with him in our true self, gives him the most pleasure. Gives him the most pleasure. There's fear here. There's not any emotion here that isn't present in the material world, but it's very different. The fear is in service of Krishna. Fear here, what does it do? It tends to separate us from Krishna. Today is the advent of Bhagavad Gita. And if we look at our three books, the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and Chaitanya Charitamrita, we get a different side of Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna introduces himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he says, abandon all varieties of religion, just surrender unto me. Do not fear, for I will deliver you from all sinful reactions. Because he knows you have fear here, but it's not fear for me, it's not fear for my protection, it's fear for yourself. But don't worry about that, come to me, I will protect you this time. In Srimad Bhagavatam, we find out who is Krishna the person, both through the eyes of his devotees, and through the eyes of his activities in the 10th canto, and the eyes of his qualities. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we learn how to love the person Krishna. How to love the person Krishna, and how pleasurable it is to love Krishna, the person. Okay, so understanding Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is a stepping stone, because for Krishna, the only reason he has to take the role of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is because we've separated ourselves from him. Okay? And, you know, what's striking in this, in any interaction we see between Krishna and his devotees, particularly in Vrindavan, particularly in his personal intimate pastimes, but we'll use this as an example, is that three things are inevitably there. One is that the devotee is always receiving more than the devotee is giving. Okay, this is the experience, this is what's so ecstatic, this is why Krishna says, I don't understand. Srimati Radharani is more happy loving me and serving me than I am being the recipient. Right? So this speaks to this point of the what we call in this world profit. right? Gaining more than you put in. That's how business runs. What's your profit margin? How are you going to gain more than you put in? This is our profit is great. We are unique. He makes us feel unique. In the Rasalila, for example, it describes, 10th canto, describes how every single gopi who was dancing with Krishna felt like Krishna was just dancing with her. We hear about his queens in Dwarka. 116,000? 16,108, that's it, thank you. Sign of my age, I get numbers muddled. 16,108. And when Narad Muni went to see how is Krishna maintaining 16,108 wives when it's difficult to maintain one, he sees that Krishna adapts himself to the unique personality of each individual personality and desires of his wife. He's different with Rukmini, different with Satyabham, different with Jambavati. So he's different with all of them. Okay, so uniqueness, our true uniqueness fully manifests with Krishna, the person. And last but not least, we are simply adored. We are the center of his world. Each individual feels like the center of his world. And yet, when we choose to separate from that, those things, that relationship with Krishna can never be broken. It can never be broken. But in order to facilitate the separation with us, Krishna adopts a different role, and we take a different form with a different identity. So what happens? We often hear that the material world is a reflection, a perverted reflection of the spiritual world, right? This boundary between the material and the spiritual. If you were to visualize it as a line, you know, the mirror is essentially a screen, isn't it? And it reflects back. And if it's distorted, if that glass is distorted, you get a perverted reflection, a twisted. Perverted means twisted, doesn't it? You're not seeing things clearly. So what happens when we say, okay, Krishna, you adore me, you make me feel unique, I get more than I put in, but I need some space. For whatever reason, curiosity, wanting to explore what it's like to be the center, even though we're already experiencing that. For whatever reason, we say, okay, we need space. Krishna knows, okay, our relationship can't be broken. We are eternally bound. However, I will give you your space. And in order to facilitate this space, I will take the role of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, using my expansion, expansions of expansion. And by glancing at the Mahatattva, we get the manifestation of so many universes. Now, we don't need to go into the detail of that. But something very powerful and very clear happens at that point of separation. And I am going to use the board for this to explain it, because I think it's, otherwise we are going to get lost in the words. I am concerned that we might lose audio if I stand up. Let's see. Okay. Oh, that's fabulous. Thank you so much. Do we have a marker by any chance? Okay, well, while we're getting a marker, I'll just carry on. Thank you. Now remember, everything is a perverted reflection, right? So the spiritual world, our relationship with Krishna is the heartbeat of it is love. Fear is out of love. Anger, Mother Yashoda's anger for Krishna, breaking the pots, running away, out of love. It's out of love. Oh, he's going to hurt himself. There's clay everywhere. Why is he doing this? I'm his mother. I should reprimand him. What will everybody else say? Not ego. It's not fear. It's for him. She also knows he's adored by everybody simultaneously. And actually, when he steals, everybody's delighted. Okay? So everything is facilitated by love. When we are adored, imagine this, picture this. If you were constantly adored, you constantly felt unique. You were in a relationship where you feel unique and adored. And you got more than you gave. How would you feel? If I said to you, you know, okay, you've looked for the perfect friendship or the perfect partnership or the perfect family. Everybody here will give you more love than you put out. Everybody here will understand you to be a unique individual and reciprocate with you exactly based on your needs. And everybody here will put you at the center of their universe and adore you. How would you feel? How would you feel? Flustered. Well, because it's alien to how we feel here, right? Okay, pretend you don't feel like, you know, the opposite here. How would you feel? Indebted, okay. I'd feel safe and happy. I wouldn't want to leave that place, you know, right? If that's what somebody, that's what we look for. Oh, where can I find someone who's going to adore me, understand me to be a unique individual and love me more than I love them, right? How else do we feel happy, don't we? But we primarily we feel safe. We never leave a place that we feel safe or a relationship where we feel safe. And in fact, even if we have to leave, we always come back. Okay, the safety principle is so important because fear is driven by a feeling of lack of safety. So what happens when we leave Krishna? We lose that feeling of safety, the safety that's born out of love. And so you look at the perverted reflection of love is fear, right? Fear. Lust and fear go hand in hand. We're gonna break this down a little bit more. So this perverted reflection means that the material world is driven by fear. But there's a few steps before that. We talk about the six enemies of the mind and fear. We talk about all of these things, but I want to kind of try and break it down so we can really see that whilst we take on different personalities here, Krishna also has to adopt the personality of Godhead in order to accompany us here. He can't be himself either, fully. And he's always himself, but he can't be himself fully with us because we don't let him. So, I'm not, this works? Oh yeah, thanks. Degrees don't teach you how to switch on a mic. Sorry? Will I? Maybe. I think we're okay. I was just putting it here just so devotees. Okay, so I'm going to use this line as, let's say, the partition of the material in the spiritual world. Okay? Can you see, ladies? Is that okay? You can't see? Why don't we move around here? There's loads of space. And maybe, Mataji, can move onto a chair here. Thank you. We have time. Okay. I'm going to call this the mirror. Okay? The separating line is that mirror that gives the perverted reflection. Okay? So here, we are loved. Okay? Here, we are adored. And we're happier, loved more than let me just reword this so that it's very, very clear. Some principles I want to keep very clear. First of all, get back more, okay? Secondly, we are adored, right? We are center of attention. Okay, I'm going to put C-O-E. Oh no, C-O-A, that's it, C-O-A, center of attention. Sorry about that. And last but not least, we are unique. Okay, we experience our full uniqueness. Okay, and what's the heartbeat of all of this? Love. Love for Krishna and his love for us. Now, underpinning all of that is our own personal identity with Krishna. Okay, unique identity and relationship. Right, then this mirror, this reflective partition comes along. Now, we can't lose our identity, can we? What's the first thing that happens? What's the first thing that the living entity gets as soon as they leave or separate from the spiritual relationship with Krishna? We get a false or transient ego. Identity first, right? And along that, with that comes our intelligence. Okay, mind. Okay, so false ego, intelligence, mind. This false ego, okay, also wants these things. Profit. I want more than I get back. Adoration. I want to be the center. Distinction. I want to be unique. Now, if we want to get more than we put in, what kind of principles does that usually require us to engage in?
Cheating.
Okay. When we cheat, what happens? What's the other person experiencing?
The loss.
Exactly. That causes them pain. Okay. So this isn't just profit. but profit at the expense of others. Okay, at the expense of others. Here, we get back more than we give, not at anyone's expense. No one loses out, because it's a virtuous cycle of love. It's complete because everybody's motive is love, okay? At the expense of others. Okay, the profit is at the expense of others. Now, if we want distinction and adoration, okay, we want to be unique and we want to be the center. It requires what? Some pretense. To be something that we are not, because to be able to be adored and stand out with everybody, we have to be something to everybody, which means we are constantly adapting ourselves. Okay? So these two require pretense. But the reason these all come about is primarily because of fear. Okay? Fear is both at the root of profit, adoration, and distinction, because we're no longer feeling safe. But it's also a result of this. Because if we're constantly having to pretend who we are, you're going to be scared, because it's vulnerable. Transient ego is vulnerable. One day I have a job, the next day I don't have a job. One day I have family, next day I don't have family. One day I'm rich, next day I'm poor. One day I'm young and beautiful, next day I'm old and crusty. You know, it's like, it's constantly under threat. This person thinks you're beautiful, another person thinks you're, you know, they don't want to see your face. Okay, so someone thinks you're short, someone else thinks you're tall. So we're constantly adjusting. And we talk about authenticity in this world. To be authentic with this persona is impossible. And I'm not saying this in an anti-woke movement kind of way. I'm saying if we are looking to be real like this, that real is going to change all the time. Because we will change according to our desires and other people's desires based on the degree of fear we have. Now it's interesting, in Manashiksha, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, so Manashiksha is prayers to the mind, okay, written by Raghunath Das Goswami. And when we look at our different Goswamis, their writings have different purposes. And Rupa Goswami gives us all the what to do, right? Nectar of instruction, nectar of devotion. This is what we should do. Raghunath Das Goswami gives us the how to do it. So Manashiksha is actually, it's a manual. It's a manual on how we can get from the beginning stages of faith through association, regulated practice, removal of unwanted things, to fixed devotion, to then progressing through taste, attachment, bhav, and then prem. Okay? So if the Manashiksha is instructions to the mind, but instructions to a mind that is now starting to become your friend. Actually, the opening sentence of the first verse is, oh, my dear mind. Not, oh, my horrible mind, I'm going to beat you with a shoe. Oh, my dear mind, please put aside all pride and chant the holy name of the Lord. And then everything else starts. So actually, this is a mind where if you tell the mind, please put aside pride, the mind will listen to you. How easy is it for us when we tell our mind, please put aside pride, how easily does your mind listen? Just put aside the pride. Now, burning someone in disrespect. Oh, burning. Why didn't I get what I want? Why didn't they recognize how clever I am? Why didn't they recognize how much hard work I put in this? Why didn't they hear my side, right? We're chanting these things, all bombarding us. Burning. Not the mind. We go, oh, please, mind. Please put aside pride. Let's chant the holy name. When our minds get to that stage, then it becomes a lot easier. So the mind... I was just giving some background on Manashiksha. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his purports, he explains that this desire for profit, adoration, and distinction can remain right up until bhav. Can remain, which means it's there from the start, but it's the hardest to remove. Shrivada Gokul Nandaji ki jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Guntai ki jai. So he says that it can remain. So it's the head honcho. Okay, and it's surrounded by a merry band of fear, envy, lust, greed, what else? Madness, anger, okay, illusion, so many. You know, this is like, we call them the enemies of the mind, okay? They don't help the mind. They stop the mind from listening to this prayer, oh, my dear mind, please put aside pride and chant the holy name. Because we can really only chant the holy name when we are free of pride. Third verse, Shikshastakam, Trinada Pisanichena, right? So The reason I'm sharing this as a perverted reflection is sometimes it's not always clear to us what we originally have and how it manifests here. And similarly, Krishna. Prabhupada is explaining clearly here what pleases Krishna, the person. Right? When he doesn't have to adopt any roles. He adopts a role as Supreme Personality of Godhead. So which Krishna we connect with, okay, in our day-to-day life, depends on what we want from him. And what we want from him depends on our motive. As long as our motive is driven by a fear or vulnerability of some sort, we are connecting with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's not a bad thing, okay? It's not a bad thing. I'm not trying to portray it to be a bad thing. In fact, this fear, which is born of prof adoration distinction, but also maintains it, is so powerful that it continues to keep a person in an atheistic mentality. Continues to keep a person in an atheistic mentality. What is atheism? Can somebody just give me a nice, succinct answer to what atheism is? Okay, that's a scary definition.
No faith in Krishna.
No faith in Krishna? What else? Yeah, I get that. But what's an atheist?
They don't believe in God.
They don't believe in God. Okay. They don't believe that there is someone there looking out for them. Okay.
I would say that they want to be God.
They want to be God. Okay. Why?
Because they're underneath the wrong side of the mirror.
Okay. But do you see that if fear is acute, right? I can only look after myself, so I'm going to be the controller. So this strong fear. So fear. So if you look at the polarity between love and fear, extreme fear is extreme separation from Krishna. Not even knowing that God exists. Not even believing that God exists. Not even believing we have a divine nature. Okay. And so that fear drives the desire to gain more than we have because that's our nature. To be adored because that's our nature. To be distinct and unique, because that's our nature. But in a way that is harmful to us and harmful to other people and continues to keep us separated from Krishna. Which is why Krishna speaks the Bhagavad Gita. Okay? To break this fear. And he ends it. You know, his ending verses are about free will. You've heard the truth. It's up to you what you do. But also, lean on me. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. Surrender means lean. Lean into me, lean on me, take shelter of me. Don't fear. It's fear that's separating us. Okay? You've left a safe place of my loving relationship, and now you're scared. Because as well as our relationship, you've lost your sense of who you are. Don't be scared. I will deliver you from all sinful reactions. Because there's one thing we fear. Everybody fears this. The consequences of our actions. We either fear that what I've done is so wrong that I'm going to get repercussions. Or we fear that actually I've done a good thing. What if I don't get my consequences? Right? There's some fear that I won't gain or, I will gain. Right? So fear is always there. Hare Krishna Prabhu. Yes. Yes. Expectation is the mother of disappointment. Thank you, Prabhu. So this entitlement, this expectation. Entitlement is the type of expectation which is connected with pride. So it's painful when you don't get it. Expectation coupled with humility and gratitude is born of love. Right? A child expects that their mum's going to feed them. Maybe some sense of entitlement. You know, but usually it's because they're used to it. That's the relationship. They trust the relationship. Like a devotee who's got a deep loving relationship with Krishna expects that Krishna's going to look after them. Not because they're thinking, oh, well, you know, Krishna belongs to me. He's mine. And he better look after me. I'm so grateful to Krishna. I trust him so much. I know he'll always take care of me regardless of what it looks like. Do you see the difference between the two different types of expectation? There's entitlement and then there's that expectation born of love and experience and trust and faith. So just coming back to this point of... because I'm going to stop in a couple of minutes just so we can share and churn a bit more. With our books, with our process of Krishna consciousness, these books are chanting, following the instructions of the spiritual master, residing in the holy dhams, following the 9 limbs of devotional service. They're essentially there to bring us to a point of moving from a place of not knowing Krishna to having faith in Krishna. So knowing this Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to then understanding Krishna also as a person, and then loving that person. Okay? See how our books systematically take us through that? Right? Bhagavad Gita, in Bhagavad Gita, he breaks our fear. He breaks our fear of being alone. He breaks our fear of not being backed up. He breaks our fear of losing our identity. These are all fears that Arjun has. Okay? He breaks Arjun's fear of looking like a bad person or a good person. He breaks Arjun's fear of feeling responsible for all the women and children in the whole planet. Okay? He breaks Arjun's fear of taking responsibility or the consequence of taking responsibility for the Kaurav's actions. It's the Kaurav's fault there in that situation. And yet it's Arjun who's bewildered about fighting. Actually, if you look at the relationship, the dynamics between the Kauravs and the Pandavs, the Pandavs have, you know, been essentially abused. Okay, their entire lives. They've been mistreated and abused their entire lives. And they have transcendental, they have compassion. They have love. They have love for Krishna. They tolerate. Okay. However, they have also, to some degree, taken on this role of thinking. And this is what's expressed by Arjun. You know, it's my responsibility to make sure these women and children are looked after. Well, actually, it's also Duryodhan's. It's also his brother's. Don't take all that sense of I'm the controller on yourself. So Arjun's mental state at the start of the Bhagavad Gita is a depiction, really, of our mental state when we are facing the different battles in our life. Fear can make us do anything. Fear can, and fear, which drives this desire for profit, adoration, and distinction, can make us, depending on who we're surrounded by, can make us pick a fight to protect our reputation. It can make us avoid a fight to protect our reputation, because maybe it's better to look like a good devotee who doesn't stand up for themselves, because that's our current idea of what a good devotee is, rather than that's what would be pleasing to Krishna. Because actually, if we look at Manushiksha, where it talks about profit, adoration, and distinction, the reason I describe profit, adoration, and distinction as the head honcho of the demons, because, you know, he stays till almost the very end, is because, you know, when you're playing a computer game, you know, on all the levels, I don't really play computer games, but I remember from when I was a kid, there's normally like a big demon that you've got to, like a big character you've got to kill, and then there's all these little ones. And typically, people start off with all the little ones. We want the quick win, right? Pow, pow, you know, it's like, and they're all gone. And then eventually, you finally, okay, if you want to win, you still have to kill the big one. And then you find out, the big one can bring back all the little ones, can bring them all back to life. And if we look at our journey from Shraddha to Prem, by Nishtha, one has cleared 75% of their unwanted things. So their backpack's only 25% full, which is why it's much easier to progress after Nishtha. However, if the head honcho is there, they make you, you know, profit, adoration, distinction make us cause offences. And as we cause offences, that gives that big head honcho more energy in the computer game. He says, all right, I'm going to bring back, you know, the others, fear, envy, greed, anger, pride, illusion, all of those things. So this is why we are constantly told these three things, profit, adoration, and distinction, right? This mentality that, am I getting more than I put in? Am I the center? And am I recognized as being unique? All in the pursuit of love. Usually what we're seeking is love, but we're instead being driven by fear. How much are they affecting me now? And actually, if we start dealing with the head honcho now, right, or as soon as possible, it's never too late and it's never too early, then we will not have to encounter the head honcho in such gross forms in later stages. When we read Shastra and we hear about devotees who've reached bhav and fallen away, it's usually because of profit, adoration and distinction. Like bringing back the other friends. Bringing them back. Because as long as we are separated from Krishna, we are vulnerable to contact with the consequences of being in touch with material energy. So much so that actually, you know, if you look at the science of anartha nivritti, and how anartha nivritti is the removal of unwanted things, all the things that are obstacles in reviving our eternal relationship with Krishna and surrendering and loving Him. The only type of unwanted thing that remains right till the end is the risk of making offences. The risk of making offences is only absolutely removed after prem. Because after prem, you're no longer in contact with material energy. And so then there is no risk of making an offence. Okay? So it's very, we've got so much in our shastras that break this down as a science. But really, I mean, I guess what I wanted the focus of today to really be is that when we read, when we hear, when we pray, which Krishna are we connecting with? It all depends on the degree to which we're motivated by fear versus love. To the degree that we're motivated by fear, to that degree, Krishna adopts the Supreme Personality of Godhead role in our life, which is not a bad thing. This is not the point we're trying to make, or the point that Srila Prabhupada is making. To the degree that our decision-making is in a loving service to Him, the person, okay, to that degree, we're getting Krishna, the person. Whereas, as you know, Rukmini Mataji, she says, you know, Vrindavan is the place where Krishna leaves his crown at the door, right? Forget the God persona is not even there in Mathura, but he has a crown there, you know, but in Vrindavan he doesn't even have the crown. So we have a couple of minutes, but yeah, please, my own reflection has recently been to be really churning this, how this desire for profit, adoration and distinction it hides in so many different ways. It's this that perpetuates abuse, whether it's institutional abuse, individual abuse, improper systems. People allowing themselves to be abused can also be out of profit, adoration and distinction. The fear, oh, I'd rather look like a good devotee who's humble and submissive than actually speak the truth. Right, I'd rather just deal with this quickly rather than put in a proper investigation to and proper process to investigate this, because you know, we don't want hassle, right? So many different things. I'm going to fight because you know that's the right thing. So we have our own. This is why association is so important, where we can have trusted relationships, where we can unearth where am I falling prey to these. So yeah. Thank you, and please, please, your questions and comments, more importantly, your reflections, are much needed. Mike, is he who would like it first? Brother Mohan? And then Nick. Sorry.
Long arms. Yeah, you know, I think my realization is, why did we fall from the spiritual world? Because somehow we became envious of Krishna. And underneath that means we want to take Krishna's place. We want to be head honcho. And therefore, in this, you know, this reflected material world, pride, profit, adoration and distinction is our way of trying to be Krishna. And what I mean by that, it's not that we're thinking, oh yeah, I want to be blue and carry a flute, but ultimately the idea of being the centre of attention, being the supreme controller, being and all the rest of it. So it's not just been in terms of servitude. It's a case of even wanting to be, subtly wanting to be God. Because when you think about, if you look at Mayavada philosophy or impersonal philosophy, That's what it actually is. It's saying that you are one with God. And that's attractive to people. But ultimately, that is actually on the bottom side of that line, or it's on the line somewhere. So I'm just sharing that realization, but I don't know if you want to comment on that or not. Yeah.
So ultimately, we want to be God. Yes, the center of attention is definitely there because that's what we're used to. We're used to being the center of attention. Krishna's servants don't feel like his servants unless that's their rasa, right? Mother Yashoda doesn't feel like his servant. She feels like his boss lady. You know, I'm your mom. You could listen to what I do. Same with the devotees in conjugal love. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. We fall because we want to be the center of attention, but we're so used to being the center of attention. But it's strange. You go somewhere else to be the center of attention. You know, but it's also independence. We may want to go for independence, curiosity, so many different things, but he does try to stop us. Thank you. Thank you, Prabhu.
I just wanted to clarify doubt. So if the conception of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is born by fear, then like all the residents of Vaikuntha who you consider Narayana as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, like, is that worship driven by fear? And also those devotees in Shantaras who have more of an appreciation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, like, is that all driven by fear then?
Yeah, thank you. That's a really good question. So this driven by fear. So it's not Krishna doesn't become the Supreme Personality of Godhead or adopt being the Supreme Personality of Godhead out of fear. What he does is he plays the role of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to facilitate the relationship we have with him out of fear. Karma, everything, all of these things, they're usually driven by fear, right? Him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the Vaikuntha planets is different. Okay, because even in the Vaikuntha planets, that relationship, yes, there's Shantaras, there's Dasya, okay, Shanta's neutrality, there's servitude. There's even these rasas are there in Vrindavan and in Mathura. In Vrindavan and Mathura with Krishna the cowherd boy, Krishna the prince, and then in Vaikuntha with Lord Narayan. Okay. But it's not God like God in the material world. Okay, the way Krishna has to be God in the material world, he has to govern laws of karma and, you know, vikarma and akarma, right? He has to make sure there's a balance between everybody's desires for profit, adoration and distinction, their fears, their happiness, their love, etc. So there's a judge, jury, executor kind of invigilator type role he has to play. He doesn't have to do that in Vaikuntha. There's no bad deeds, good deeds, there's no fear there. There's only fear of losing his association. Because there's appreciation for him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because that is also an aspect of his authentic self. Everything about Krishna is authentic. You see, he's not, you know, one aspect just temporarily. You see what I mean? They're all there. It's whether he manifests them or not. And to what degree he manifests them to us depends on our relationship with him. So again, coming back to here, do we want God the invigilator? Do we want Krishna the invigilator, the supplier of our demands in this material world? Fine, karma kanda. Okay, karma yoga. Okay, do we want him to be the person who illuminates and, you know, gives us knowledge, etc.? Jnana yoga. Okay, or do we want to approach him with love and devotion? Okay, I know you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but I also know you're much more than that. I know you know me as this, but I also know you know me as much more than this. And so then we take the Bhagavad Gita one step further, we read the Srimad Bhagavatam. Then when we're ready to love this person, we read Chaitanya Charitamrita. But also these texts are so nectarian and beautiful just simply by reading them that love is revived. It's a scientific process and also it's magical. Magical science, if there's such a thing. And there is, Krishna consciousness. So do we have to stop? I guess it's up to you. Sure.
I know you did kind of mention, oh, by the way, thank you for the class. I really appreciated it and all the knowledge you brought from Manasiksha and everything. That was really nice. I know you did kind of mention, obviously, fear in itself is not actually a bad thing, but I just wanted to kind of reiterate that also because I feel that, and also in my spiritual life, that I feel like fear gets a lot of bad reputation. But I think in spiritual life, fear can actually nourish your devotion. And in terms of like like fearing bad association, you know, fearing losing bhakti, fearing losing your association with devotees, fearing losing your connection with Guru and Vaishnava, like all these fears actually help to protect oneself from all these unwanted things which are around us. And even like, okay, I've committed something bad, or I've spoken to a devotee in the wrong way, like, and I feel really bad about it. This guilt, this fear, this kind of like negative emotion actually helps to purify your heart. And that's what I've heard, and I can't remember exactly where, but this guilt, this fear that you feel actually is like a fire which purifies the heart. So I just wanted to clarify that, although I do agree with you that fear-based living and coming in the materialistic sense of like mindset is very negative. But when one uses that same emotion for Krishna and for Guru and Vaishnava, then this thing becomes like a tool for purification.
In the beginning, it can be used as a temporary tool. I wouldn't advise it as a permanent tool, because it will be mixed. Okay, if we look at fear coming from a place of let's just take your example: fear of losing devotee association, fear of you gave some other, but let's say fear of losing devotee. Sorry, fear of Maya. Okay, there's this. What does fear automatically bring? It brings avoidance, right? Protection, defense. Okay, we can seek devotee association because we're scared of losing it, or we can seek devotee association because we have appreciation for it. Now, while we're working through human psychology and transcendental psychology, primarily human psychology is there to protect the false ego and to create division. Okay, so fear-based living, even where it's supporting devotional principles, is a great temporary stopgap, but it cannot be used permanently. You'll get sick, you will make offenses. So it's like a small child. You may initially get them to avoid the flame by fear, but then they actually need to be educated on what the dangers of the flame are. So otherwise it ends up leading, if we separate ourselves from non-devotees out of fear, what will be born out of it is judgment and discrimination and pride, that I'm better than somebody who hasn't woken up to their relationship in Krishna consciousness. So fear as a long-term motivation in our devotional service is unhelpful. However, it does have a use. And I want to make a distinction also about what you talked about. And I'm not trying to correct you. I'm just trying to appreciate what you're saying, but also where else it can go, because these kinds of things can be misinterpreted. Let's look at offenses, okay? There can be a fear of making offenses because I want to achieve advancement in Krishna consciousness, okay? There can be a fear of making offenses because I don't want to stop receiving Krishna's mercy. That's a receiver's mindset. When, depending on our level of consciousness, we will approach offenses out of fear. Okay, out of a fear of, okay, I don't want to lose and I want to achieve. Then when you start to see the value of devotional service, you'll say, oh my gosh, I've got something really valuable here. I don't want to lose this. Let me adopt my behavior. Let me change my behavior. But when we start to really experience devotional service and start to, you know, look at the different, the beginner devotee, intermediate devotee, the advanced devotee is seeing Krishna in everybody and how much Krishna values each person, then avoiding offenses isn't even about avoiding them. Okay, it's about, I'm always going to engage with devotees in a manner that's of service to them. So it's empowering, it's proactive, whereas fear is generally defensive and protective. Okay, so when we're even associating with non-devotees, I don't want to lose devotee association, but if I have a company of those who are not like-minded, I can maybe be available to them and give my association rather than taking. So I appreciate your point about fear, but we already do so much fear-based living. To do the mental gymnastics around how fear could help us in our devotional life, you know, it can really become a trap. I'll give you an example. So I meet many patients, I'm a psychiatrist, who come to me for anxiety disorders. And they've lived much of their life, whether it's, often they've got successful careers, they've got beautiful families. That you looked at their life from, you know, the surface, it's perfect. But they're driven by fear. Everything, they tell me, I get up in the morning, I'm scared, I go to bed, I'm scared. It's really not a pleasant place to be. And yes, okay, that's extreme fear. But hear me out. When they've become, when they've treated and they're free of anxiety, their anxiety disorder, they're not free of fear in terms of the transcendental sense, but fear of an anxiety disorder, they're actually relaxed with their family, relaxed at work. They're like, you know, I've become lazy. I don't feel like doing anything. I almost feel like I should have my anxiety disorder back. I'm like, no, what you now need to find is an empowering motivation to move forward rather than a defensive motivation to move forward. Is that...
Yeah, I understand, but I still won't completely agree, because I understand the background of where you're coming from. But I'll just give one example. Prabhupada, you can see it. Many people have seen it in a YouTube video. Prabhupada says, there's one difference between me and you, especially talking about Westerners, I think. And he's saying, the difference is that I fear Maya and you don't. He said this. This is the one difference between me and you. And he's Prabhupada. He's Mahabhagwat. He's Uttam Vaishnav, you know. He's saying, I fear... But why is he saying that? Why is he saying, I fear Maya?
He's fearless. He's not talking about
but
this fear.
But why is he saying that?
This is not this fear. Okay, this is what I'm trying to say to you. Here, in this verse, in the purport, Vasudev is feeling fear. Mm. He's feeling fear for Krishna. His fear is in the service of Krishna, not in the protection of himself. Okay, the fear that Prabhupada is talking about, he's not saying, oh my gosh, I'm so scared, let me just create a persona that, you know, ensnares me in this material world more. Okay, he's scared of losing the love he has for Krishna and the love Krishna feels for him by becoming distracted by the power of Krishna's servant, Maya. Prabhupada understands Maya in a very different way to us.
But he's saying he fears Maya.
Yes, but not fear that you're talking about. Not human psychological fear, transcendental fear.
That's what I'm talking about. Because I'm saying fear is different when it's in spiritual life. I understand the intelligence required to perceive that is different when one uses it in a materialistic way of life. But when one uses it in the spiritual life... And I'm only saying this with such strength and vigor because it's what I've heard from my own spiritual master.
No, I appreciate that, but please, yeah. Can you differentiate between human psychology fear and transcendental fear, and then the bridge between that, okay? Then the reason I'm saying that is because we can't just jump from one to the other, and there is the human side of our devotional life.
And you're coming from that perspective, and I get it, but I'm just coming purely from what I've heard, you know? And you're coming from such a strong... I understand why you say that, but... I just want to say, because this is what I've heard from my spiritual master, this is what I've heard even Prabhupada say, that there's nothing wrong with fear, but I know why you say that.
I'm not saying there's something wrong with it. What I'm saying is we shouldn't use it as a long-term motivation.
But spiritual life is so dynamic. It's like, it's not always that, because in that, you know, and coming to the stage of Anatta Nivritti, it's like you said, after Anatta Nivritti, you come to the stage of Nishtha, like you said, 25% of Anatta, or maybe less, is left after Anatta Nivritti. But it's dynamic in the sense that it's not always going to be you're going to have so much motivation, taste to perform. You're not always going to be in that stage of wanting to do out of love. Sometimes you do because you're fearing not performing the instructions that you've been given by your spiritual master. You know?
Okay. This is why I'm saying to you, what you're talking about is depend on where you are at in your spiritual life. Prabhupada is an Uttamadhikari. When we're in Kanishtha, at Kanishtha stage, beginner stage, and even at Madhyam, the fear principle is there. But at taste, saruchi, ashakti, bhav, progressively, it goes. Fear is not, that kind of fear, the human fear, is not the motivating factor.
But ruchi is Madhyamadhikari. Madhyamadhikari.
Madhyam Uttam. Ruchi is Madhyam Uttam.
Still Madhyam, right? Madhyam.
Madhyam Bhakta Uttamadhikari.
Yeah. Okay, well, when Madhyam then starts at what? Just after Nishtha?
Okay, so from Shraddha to Anartha Nivritti is Kanishtha, Kanishtha Adhikari and Kanishtha Bhakta. Yeah. Nishtha is Madhyam Bhakta Madhyam Adhikari. Then Ruchi, Ashakti, is Madhyam Bhakta. You've achieved intermediate, but you have the qualification of an Uttam. Okay, you are awake to some degree to your relationship with Krishna, and then progressively increases, more taste, more attachment, then bhav and prem are just pure degrees of uttam bhakta uttam adhikari. Okay, so there is not your, even looking at offenses, when we approach offenses, especially at the practice stage, we're still looking at how can I avoid making an offense, and how do I respect other people, right? How can I be respectful to the Kanishtha in the mind and with the Madhyam, pay obeisances, Uttam, offer service, okay? When a devotee reaches these stages of Ruchi, Ashakti, Bhav, one has such deep humility because they have such gratitude for the relationship they have with Krishna. They're not looking for a reason to not criticize someone. All they're looking for is a reason to glorify someone. The mood is very different.
I'd say this is very high. This is not, it's not like an easy stage. And we're not, like most of us, you know, we're not always at that stage.
What? Okay, one thing you need to understand is not, you don't fluctuate day to day on which stage you're at. It's progressive. Okay, so you're not...
At that stage where you're saying, you're not falling down to that stage, you know? When you're coming to this stage of Ruchi, you know? And
yes, so that's one thing. Don't take Prabhupada's statements of fear that he's scared of Maya to be the same as the fear that we're talking about here.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying also, that I wanted to clarify that. I didn't want to give fear a bad reputation, you know, because we talk so much about how fear is bad, but I wanted to talk about the good side of fear.
Mm. And fear does have a good side. Fear warns us. It tells us what's dangerous, doesn't it? If you didn't fear getting burnt, you'd go and put your hand in a flame. If you didn't fear a snake, you'd go near one and get bitten. Fear definitely has a protective element. It plays that role, but it also gives us the illusion of keeping us safe. That's why people become anxious, because fear gets us busy doing a lot of things, such as worrying, when we actually do nothing.
When you use that fear in devotional service, yeah, it has a different outcome.
I agree, but I'm saying it shouldn't be our long-term motivation, because if it is, it becomes toxic.
Yeah.
I think we should leave it there, because it's 10 to 9. Yeah. Thank you very much for that, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.